And I was in the vortex, and I got out of the vortex.
Dude.
And I looked at my whole life.
That's,
you know,
the one I want to read.
That's the one I want.
Looked at my whole life, and I'm thinking, like, wow. And I'm subconsciously focused on validation, but I wasn't really focused on credibility.
I want to go back to your winner circle.
Such a cool thing. Dinner.
I think it's the dopest thing around, and probably still that model. Mm-hmm. Talk about it. Like, what happens in this dinner? Like, I'm sure. Real curious about it.
Yeah, it's great. You know, actually, Natasha is part of I did this for women also. It's called the High Value Women's Collective. But the men's I've been doing for 4.5 years. I have a group of 80 guys. I've curated each one myself. And we all share similar characteristics. One is our core values are very similar. They're aligned. What that really means is, most of us don't even drink alcohol. I don't, you know, most of the guys don't. We're very focused on health, wellness. Spirituality is important. We don't have guys cheating on their wives or their girlfriends. No one's out staying late, you know, out late a lot, you know, that kind of stuff. And very coachable. Everyone's coachable. No arrogance, no egotistical people. Highly accomplished. That means that we have best-selling New York Times authors in the group. We have people that have done, you know, really great startups and real estate developers and actors and directors and producers and just full spectrum. And Adam Fields comes sometimes. And,
oh,
you know,
God.
Sometimes.
Does he really? Wait, how do you get hit? How do you take a guy like that and put him in a winner's circle?
I don't know. He's a guest sometimes of some of our friends.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, it's interesting.
There's just a name. I'm like,
I wanted to shake you up a bit. But, anyhow, so it's interesting, and so this group, we've been doing it for 4.5 years. We do it at Craig's every Thursday, and it's just really nice. I wanted to force every one of us to be the smallest person in the room, kind of do it, you know, in that capacity, just force it, you know. And so that way we kind of feel that we need to be around this kind of category of person or people, you know. And it's not accomplishment. That's not it.
No,
core values are really critical, and all the other things are really important. So I did that really well. I did a dinner for 12 guys every Thursday. It's 80 guys in a group. Mm-hmm. And then I started thinking that, hey, you know, I know a lot of women that are really very accomplished, 100%. Very, you know, they also, I have these conversations with them saying, hey, do you have a lot of friends in LA that are similar mindset and core values? And they all say no. You know? So it's hard. It's hard in LA. It's really hard. Especially for women, it's really hard.
It's actually hard in LA for men, too.
It is.
I gotta tell you, like, when we connected, we're like, whoa, wait, there's not a lot of us.
Because I get up at 4:45 every morning. Yeah. Right? That's discipline. Sure. I get up to meditate, pray, hot yoga.
Sure.
You know.
We have all these same. We were talking, like, I was like, oh, you do TM? I do TM. You do hot yoga?
Yeah, this is and so good. It's every day.
Every day.
And it's consistent.
Sure.
And so when you're looking around, and you're looking for people that look like you, and you're like, you know, you have to step back a little bit. Like, as soon as I met him, I looked at him, and I was like, oh.
He can read people in 1 second flat.
I picked it up.
The thing why we connect in general, all of us, is that we all, like, have had our success. We all could walk in and be like, no, I did this. But it's like, no, it's we first family. Family first, period. And you don't have kids yet, right?
No,
but when you do, you'll realize, like, that's everything. Mm-hmm. I woke up one day and I was just like, that's it. All it's about. I realized I was looking at my 1-year-old and I didn't grow up very religious. I mean, I grew up Jewish, obviously, but not like very religious Jewish. And I didn't even know if I believed in God. My grandparents were in the Holocaust. They came here from Germany with whole families killed. Holocaust 14 to 19.
I'm sorry.
My grandmother, 6 brothers and sisters, mother, father, grandfather, everyone. They came here, they were in camps from 14 to 19, came here at 21 with $10, no English, and my dad was 4. They met in post camps. But so I grew up, you know, believing in Judaism, but I didn't know if I believed in God per se. And because I'm a scientist, I actually study science. And so I'm like, I couldn't mix.
It's true.
I just couldn't, but it's not true. What's crazy is
it's culture more. It's more of a culture.
I had kids. Mm-hmm. And one day, I literally remember the day it happened. He was 1. I remember where I was sitting, and I was in a terrible place. And it was right when I was getting the company back. He was 1 year old. He was born in 2015, so we were in the heart of the, like, battle. And I remember looking out the door and seeing him. And I was like, I know what God is. I'm looking at God. I was, like, looking at my kid, and I'm like, I'm literally looking at God. And I'm like, and my whole world changed, where that's when I think... built. It didn't just like happen overnight. Where I was like, I don't care about any of this. I don't care about the press. I don't care about if that actor is my friend or not my friend, or, you know, I don't care if I make another movie. I care what he's going to think. Sure. And my job is to make him a better person. Mm-hmm. And then, like, everything went like, and my core, everything that I just, so when we talk about, like, being an athlete, like, I realized, oh, my God, I've spent 10 years with blinders like this, being told this is where you're going to go, this is the speech you're going to give, this is the deal you're going to close. And, like, I woke up, I was like, I don't know who's managing my money. I don't know, like, who pays my bills. I don't even know what I like anymore. Like, I know what I think I like, but I don't think I like what I think I like. You know, I'm supposed to be wearing a three-piece suit, but I fucking hate suits. Like, you know, and I changed everything.
Thank God for the pandemic.
Right?
No more suits.
No, but I went from, I was living in a 14,000 square foot house, and then I was just selling everything. I live in a 4,000 or 40-something, 101 story with the kids. We're all close. Like, you know, I don't even know, cars I'd never even driven at different friends' houses. And it just went to like, yeah, I like nice things. But it changed everything. I live for my kids. And he's the same.
I'm about simplification, and I don't have bad days. No matter what happens.
I've never seen you unhappy, actually.
I'm never going to have. I know you heard me yelling when coming in. I think energy is important, and I think choosing your response is very important. Sure. And, you know, like, Ted's working on 4 different books at one time. And I was trying to figure
that.
It out.
Well, let's talk about your books.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. How are you able to write those books at the same time?
So I've been crushing stages for about 20 years. I've been public speaking. I do keynotes on all kinds of stuff, places, masterminds all over the world and stuff. I've been speaking for a long time.
Is that your primary, before we go to books, is that your primary thing right now you like to focus on? Is like,
I have business. I bought a tech company in Ukraine in 2015. I still run that tech company. It's like in stealth. I'll be coming out with what we're doing next this year. It's a connected television advertising business now. And I have a real estate portfolio, passive income.
Are those the televisions that run the ads and you get the TV for free?
No, that's my friend's company, actually. Oh. Ilya. That's his company.
I know Ilya.
Yeah, Ilya's great.
He's a legend. By the way, he's a legend.
He's wild.
Dude, I went to a brunch at his house. I stayed 20 minutes. I'm like, this is every single person I don't want to be around in LA.
It's
left.
So funny. Yeah, it's wild.
He's exactly what you talk about. Like him a lot, but having fun.
Sure. He's always having fun. He's always happy guy. They did pretty well with Pluto, though. So
he did very well with Pluto.
Yeah, Pluto did really well. So essentially, I come alive on stage. I do really, my brainstorm genesis is strongest on a stage. Never prepare for any talks. I could talk about anything for hours, you know? And so I've had this opportunity for a long time. I get invited to speak everywhere I do it. And then podcasts. I've been on hundreds of podcasts as a super guest. Like, I guess Natasha's put me on something as well. And I feel that I do really well on podcasts too. And then so about 6 to 8 months ago, I realized I got to speak my book in front of a camera.
Oh, that's so cool.
So
that's
I started to do this so I could crush chapters in an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. It's about 7,500 to 9,000 words.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And I crush in front of a camera, almost like a podcast setting, but for one, just for myself.
Just for yourself.
And I can work, and I have outlined all my books, and I know what chapters are next and what, and so I get the inspiration. I could hop around, and there's a lot of storytelling in each chapter as well. So, you know, I think there's a lot of human connection, and you could relate to stories better. So I could hop around. I have 4 different projects right now, 4 different books. One is almost done. And then they're all completely irrelevant, by the way. I have Winning by Osmosis, which is coming out soon.
Love that name.
I love the name. Yeah, it's dope.
Thanks a lot. And you could also Lose by Osmosis, too. There's a chapter called Losing by Osmosis.
Yeah. Losing is probably more important than winning.
It's more important. It is, you know, and it's basically.
You know the Churchill quote, Man in the Arena? Mm-hmm. So that's our motto.
Yeah, that's
thing. Nice. And then the next one is The Microdosing Guide, How to Dose Out of Any Situation.
You got to break that down, though, because that's really good.
The microdosing guide?
Yeah, because how to dose out of any situation. How to get out of it.
Yeah. I'm a big proponent of that in K-therapies as well. And then I have a book next year. It's called Indian by osmosis, and we're talking about where I came. I spent my first 9 years in Houston as a kid. And
you know I'm from Houston,
yeah,
Texas.
I do. That's why I brought it up. So, and I learned how to fight there. It was pretty racist. I mean, I'm from India.
Yeah.
And I changed my name. My original name is Tej with a J. Mm-hmm. And when I first
T-E-J.
Just one letter different.
Yeah.
And when I come out with my first book, I go back to my original name. It's part of my whole authenticity movement.
That's amazing.
Thank you. And then so it talks about my life here, growing up here as Indian, and it was very tough because people didn't like Indian people. They were weird, and Indiana Jones, they were eating monkey brains and weird shit like that. You know? So it was tough. And then all of a sudden, like 15 years ago, yoga, kundalini, breath work, you know, like pranayama, meditation, everything Indian started becoming cool. And then within the last 10 years, now we're running every major tech company. So now we're actually trending. Now we're cool. Now we meet a girl, I'm from India. You know, they're thinking, oh, wow, that's cool. You know, it was never like that. And so I talk about the whole thing, and then like all the modalities, which I think are great from India, I talk about that as well. And then I have another book at the end of the year, next year. It's called Validation Vortex. And so I started doing videos about that recently, and I talk about, you know, how we're all kind of sucked in. A lot of people are really sucked into this validation vortex.
Yep, validation by
third party. Around, what restaurants we're going to, what are we wearing, like every aspect of it. And I was in the vortex, and I got out of the vortex.
Dude.
And I looked at my whole life.
That's
you know?
The one I want to read.
That's the one I want.
Looked at my whole life, and I'm thinking like, wow. And I was subconsciously focused on validation, but I wasn't really focused on credibility as much anymore. And I'm back now into that and focused on credibility.
That is permanent.
That's permanent.
That to me is, I think, I went through validation vortex, got out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say I've never been able to put it in words, but I'd say that's part of what
that
we're doing here
good,
is showing people that credibility
is key.
And validation doesn't matter.
Validation is temporary. In fact, and I talk about this, and I have another video on my page talks about how validation cannibalizes credibility.
Yeah.
Because your mind state is...
You're trying to prove something.
You're trying to prove something. Instead of building something. When you get credibility, generally, you're adding value to someone else's life, not your own, right? And that gains credibility. And I feel like humility is also a big part of credibility, too. People who demonstrate humility are generally credible. And that's a huge weakness. I mean, that's a huge strength. And a weakness in people that people don't demonstrate humility. It's a big thing.
Because humility...
Humility is so important.
I mean, I was just speaking about this today in front of like six guys that we're going to be putting in the NBA draft about how to be humble, you know, because if you don't humble yourself, the world will humble you.
It happened to me.
So, you know, being able to serve people is something that that's a part of me. I spent my whole life wanting to serve people. So I found purpose in giving. And watching other people and building people to be not only successful, but to have the integrity, to have those things. But that's a part of my life.
Humility attracts help.
It does. It makes people realize you're human. Humility, human. To me, it's like I know we got to let you go, but when do your books drop that we can, and how do we see them?
It should be done in the next few weeks, and then we're shopping deals. So hopefully it'll be out in the quarter after. So
we'll make sure we put whatever we can do to promote or help.
Thank you so
much. We want to help. It's, you know, been such an honor to have you on, and
thank you so much.
And I want to meet the ladybug.
Oh yeah, for sure.
that's his car.
My request is the winner circle.
Yeah,
it's a pretty good one.
That is fire.
Well, thank you for joining us. Like, means a lot, and you've accomplished is, you know, I think for at least my generation, just, you know, I look at it as you guys started the movement that we know as social media today. So,
thank you.
Real honor to have you on.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, my man.
Pleasure.
Yeah. So, guys, this has been another great episode of Failure with Ryan and Ted. And Ted's been super. If you haven't done so yet, make sure you subscribe to this channel. Also, make sure you click that little bell right there so that you can be notified every time that we drop a new video on this channel. Ted, where can we find you at on socials?
Find me on Instagram at Ted Skilla, TEDSKILLA.
You have a
YouTube channel?
Not yet.
Okay.
Soon. I have a pod coming out soon, too.
We'll make sure to help. We'll make sure to push that. I'm going to be watching that one.
Thanks.
He's got like, as you said, you know, copy all kinds of things. We had a guest on just randomly 2 weeks ago who said, I just realized the hard way. I was making Coke all the time, and I should have just made Pepsi. And I stole that. I'm like, holy shit, I'm always making Coke. I'm always trying to trailblaze. I'm always getting shit for it. The press always says it's not going to work. I have to fight. I'm like, why not let somebody else do it first, and then I could just make it better.
Exactly.
It's so brilliant.
Let's not pave roads.
And I don't know why.
It's cheaper not to pave a road.
Right. I was like, why did I always feel like I'm a failure if I didn't create Coke?
Like, yeah, Friendster spent a bunch of money to pave roads, and we just came and used the roads they paved, you know?
No, literally, he said it.
That's probably one of the smartest things that you can ever do.
I just realized, why do I have to create Coke? I fail, and then I get shit on, and, you know, now I just create Pepsi. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's that simple.
Yeah, truly.
Well, thank you so much.
I hope to have you back. And, you know, if you guys have questions, obviously you know how to reach them and, you know,
drop comments
for us. And as usual, even if they're trolly, as you know, we respond to them a lot. So we hope you don't troll, but if it makes you feel better, we hope you have a better day.
Thank you.